the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas!
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Hamilton Corner. Of course, I am not Abraham Hamilton III, but praise God for him, because he is the voice that you're usually hearing at this time, but I'm subbing for him tonight. It's my honor and my pleasure to do so. Great to be with you again, as always. Thankful to God to be part of the AFR family and the whole constellation of organizations supported by the American Family Association. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for all that you do to make all of this possible. God bless each and every one of you. And even though it's still early in December, by all means, Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you're getting ready for a wonderful holiday that is centered on Jesus Christ. Don't let anxiety and concern about all the money that you need to spend, because, you know, to tell you the truth, we don't really need to spend money on Christmas. I mean, we can, but we don't need to. It's not a necessity, is it? Because the real season is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's always helpful to remember. I always counsel people, don't go into debt. Please don't go into debt for Christmas and spend all of the following year paying off all the stuff that you thought you wanted to do or needed to do in order to have a great Christmas. Don't do that. We just believe God to provide what you need and make the season about him. And believe me, I'm sure you will find it very, very, very satisfying. But, you know, obviously people in the world have a very different idea about what Christmas is about, unfortunately. And as a result, some very tragic things happen during Christmas, but not us, right? We're going to follow God and honor him during this wonderful, holy season. Well, look, I want to talk to you about something that's fairly close to home. You all probably know, I mean, Virginia is right. I mean, I'm sure you know, Virginia is right on the border of North Carolina. In fact, where I live in Virginia is literally 15, 20 minutes, and you're in North Carolina. So I'm right on the southern border of Virginia, right near North Carolina. And things that happen in North Carolina tend to affect us. In fact, in many ways, we're going through similar problems, because North Carolina, as you all, again, probably know, it's kind of on the verge of going, blue. I think most people would say it's still purplish. They think Virginia has gone red, but I've got news for them. Virginia is not going to go red as long as I have a pulse, in the name of Jesus. I don't care. I don't care how red it may look. It's a mirage. It's an illusion. As we are, how blue it may look. It's a mirage. It's an illusion. We are not allowing Virginia to go blue. Virginia is going to be a deep, deep red. Red for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So stand by. Those of you listening to me in Virginia right now, stand by, because you're going to be hearing from me. As right now, there's a vacuum of leadership in Virginia, and there's a desperate need for someone or someones, and I have some ideas about who those someones can be, and I'm certainly going to include myself in that, to take responsibility for making sure that we have a turnaround in Virginia. I mean, if they did it in Arkansas, remember, Arkansas used to be the state of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Thank God that it is no more. And imagine this, Florida was about to be the state of Andrew Gillum. I mean, imagine Andrew. Oh, my goodness. Folks, that's enough to give you nightmares. I mean, Andrew Gillum turned out to be a meth head and some kind of sexual deviant. I'm not sure what he would call himself. I mean, he came out after he was caught with two men doing meth and having sex, apparently, in a hotel room after he lost the election. He finally came out and said, well, I have to admit that I am a bisexual. But I'm, you know, kind of pridefully, but violating his marriage covenant. He's married to a woman. He's got, you know, how, you know, he's... it's, you know, basically because in the Democrat Party, that's not a thing to be ashamed of. My goodness, that's something to be sung from the rooftops. Yes, Andrew Gillum is bisexual. Well, we should have known, and we'll celebrate him. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us, Jesus. So thank God Florida dodged the bullet, but then turned deep red afterwards. I imagine this guy was running around, particularly going to these black churches, lifting up holy hands like he was really praising God, and the guy was a complete reprobate. And got a lot of Christians, sadly, to vote for him, just like we did here in Virginia with Abigail Spinberger. Real name is Spanberger, but, you know, I affectionately refer to her as Spinberger because she did a whole lot of spinning in that election. So, you know, North Carolina has had two major crime events in the last couple of months, and I'm wondering, what is it going to take? We all remember the murder of this lovely young lady, Ukrainian refugee, Irina Zarutska. Irina Zarutska, sitting there, you've seen the film over and over again, sitting there peacefully looking at her phone, sitting by herself, not bothering a soul. And this animal sitting behind her stands up suddenly with no provocation whatsoever and viciously stabs the girl in the neck and kills her. And for what? Now we've got another incident that just took place a day or two ago where this homeless illegal alien, and he is an illegal alien, was drinking on the bus and making a lot of noise and screaming at people. And this guy stands up and says, hey, you know, man, you know, don't yell at people. This guy's name is Kenyon Dobie. And he just basically said, you know, stop. And this illegal alien animal stabs him. Now, he's still in critical condition. It does appear that he's going to live, but he's still in critical condition. He was stabbed in the lung. And they had to basically put a tube in his chest and pump the blood out of his lung in order to save his life so that he could breathe. Now, you know, and by the same bus line, and you think, well, what is it going to take? And this guy has a long arrest record. I think it was deported twice. And the sheriff stands up and says, well, he was deported twice, so obviously that's not working. So maybe we shouldn't be deporting people. Maybe we should just be, as the mayor of Chicago said, maybe we should be giving them affordable housing. I mean, and once again, folks, once again, now we've got a young girl killed, got a young man almost killed. I have not heard a single peep out of the left, the pro-immigration, pro-crime, pro-illegal alien invasion, because I hear again, I don't even like to call it immigration because it's really not immigration. Immigration is good. When it's controlled by us and under legal restrictions, it is a good thing because we bring good people into our country the right way, and that's fine. But this illegal alien invasion that was engineered by the Biden administration and supported by the Democrats, all these Americans, and this last one, the first one was an American who committed the crime against Irina, but this last one was an alien invader, and I don't know this for sure, folks, so don't hold me to this, but I've seen the pictures of this guy, and you know, all notice he's got tattoos on his face. It might not be, but they look like teardrops, and you all probably know that teardrops is a gang symbol of having killed somebody. In other words, every time you kill somebody, you get a teardrop tattooed onto your face. Now, maybe that's not what they are because the pictures I've seen are not clear enough to tell me that. If they are, this guy could be a multiple killer. Why is he in our country and why is he allowed to roam free? Guilty of crimes in the country from which he came, guilty of crimes in America, but he's out here roaming about because you've got these politically correct idiots who could care less about what happens to any American. And again, notice the same people who are whining and crying about the possibility that there may have been people in the sea, drug dealers who got killed in a second strike, and it was so inhumane. Not a peep. Not a single peep for Irina. Not a single peep for this young man, Kenyon Dobie. Not a peep. In fact, again, I have never heard a peep out of them for any American harmed by any illegal alien. And you watch these mothers weep and cry when their children have been murdered and saying, you know, when you know that if that person had not been allowed in our country, my child would probably be alive. And I don't hear not a single Democrat say, this is terrible. This is terrible. You know, they could even, if they had the sense God gave a gnat, they could even say, well, you know, look, yeah, I want our borders to be more open. I want more people to come, which I would vehemently disagree. But they could say, then they say, but I don't want criminals coming in. And we've got to figure out a way to weed them out because we don't want Americans hurt by these people. You don't even hear that level of concession. So once again, it brings me back to the point. What motivates them? It is certainly not care for the American people. It is certainly not concern for our well-being, our safety, our security. I mean, all of the stuff that they've been putting forth, cashless bail and emptying prisons and all of this, is none of it is calculated based upon a concern for the American people, a concern for the regular citizen who doesn't walk around with security, who doesn't live behind in a gated community or around an estate with a high fence, who isn't being driven around in limousines, but has to travel and ride buses and ride trains and walk the streets. They could care less, it seems, what happens to them, based upon their behavior at least. Thank God for President Trump, who is at least trying to hold these people, these so-called public officials, accountable for their utter disregard of the lives of the American people. I mean, utter disregard for what happens to us. And as if they have, again, not as if, no, they have calculated. The people in the country now, we have a certain number of them. We don't have enough. So forget them. The ones we've got, they're going to stay with us anyway because they're as crazy as we are. And the ones we don't have, forget them because they're never going to come with us. We're going to bring in some new people who will be with us, and that's how we're going to take over the country. So you hear Jasmine Crockett, a Jasmine Crooked, say that when asked by an interviewer, how do you want to reach out to the Trump people in Texas? She said, I don't need them. Now, again, you know, I heard one commentator say, well, most politicians, even if they thought that way, would never be stupid enough to say it, to say, I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't want your vote. I don't need your support. They would at least say, look, I want to serve everybody. And I hope everybody will take a look at my candidacy and evaluate where I stand and see where they may find common ground. I mean, something. But no. Nothing. I don't need them. Because they really have written most of us off. We're irrelevant. This is E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III tonight. And thank you all for joining me. Stand by. I'll be back in a minute with more.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say that they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? A bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please Him? God does. God tells us His perspective and thoughts. He tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word. In the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. It's not a matter of who is God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us His Word, and if we line up with His Word, we end up on the right side of an issue. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and world.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Abraham, I'm coming to you and your wonderful listeners today with a very special request for the month of December, and I'm remembering John 1, where the apostle writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And yet, would you know, in the regions of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, as many as 9 of 10 new believers have never read that scripture in their own Bible because they do not own one.
Everyone wants to read the Bible, but many of them will be sharing a single Bible.
Pastor Carlo there in the Andes Mountains will tell us that Christians are so desperate to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, they are willing to share a Bible. This December, we want to bless 7,000 Bibleist believers so this year they can read for themselves the true Christmas story. So would you get involved today, Abraham?
$5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, $500 sends 100. Give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
We're back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Great to be with you again today. Happy to stand in for a great man of God. Another stabbing on another bus in Charlotte. And by the way, you know, again, Charlotte, that area, my wife and I vacation there. It's really a beautiful area, and they're allowing it to be ruined by just letting crime run rampant in Mecklenburg County. But again, no concern for the average citizen who's got to deal with this, who's got to contend with this. No, their only concern, it seems, is for the illegal alien or for the criminal. Now, to put icing on this cake, Governor Pritzker of Illinois has just released 1,800 criminal illegal aliens. Now, being an illegal alien makes you a criminal anyway, but these are people convicted of felonies without any ICE cooperation, without any cooperation with ICE. They've now been released on the streets of Illinois. You can rest assured that most of them will probably end up right in Chicago, increasing the crime rate in Chicago and getting more people robbed, raped, and murdered in Chicago. But you wonder, again, where is the concern for the average citizen? Because it's not there. Well, forgive me for being repetitious, as I said before. It is because they're not interested in you and me. They're not interested in the American people. They're not interested in the American citizens. They're only interested in power. And they think by doing things like this, they enamor themselves to the illegal alien that they're bringing into the country, who will at some point, they believe, down the road, at some point, either legally or illegally, they will have the ability to vote, and they will vote for their benefactors. They will vote for their de facto slave masters, because that's really what they're doing. They're buying people. And they're buying people in order to solidify their own power. Zohar Mamdani just sent out a communique to, I guess, all the illegal aliens in New York, how to avoid ICE, how to avoid the federal organization charged with the responsibility of deporting people who are here illegally. And you got the mayor of New York and the governor of Illinois, and they're not the only ones, obviously, spending their time teaching people how to defy federal law. Now, you know, folks, and I don't want a civil war. I'm not projecting a civil war. I don't believe we're going to have a civil war. I love the country too much to see us go through something like that. But, you know, this is the same attitude that prevailed just before the Civil War. And there were two things, a major policy difference. In that case, it was over slavery, and absolute vehement hatred of Abraham Lincoln. I mean, we kid ourselves if we think that was not a major factor. They hated him. The slave master class particularly thought that he was against them, out to destroy them. I believe they were wrong. I think Abraham Lincoln was anti-slavery, but I don't think he was going to do anything precipitous to try to end slavery. I think that what he was going to try to do is figure out a way to negotiate their way out of it. But of course, and I realize that, you know, the Southern perspective can be a little bit different on this, you know. It can be a little bit different about the war of Northern aggression. But nevertheless, look, we know that it didn't start with Abraham Lincoln. It didn't start in 1865. It started long before that. You know, the Kansas wars, if you will, that were going on pre-Civil War, that, you know, John Brown got involved in, and a lot of people went there to fight over that issue. Over what where the line was going to be between the slavery and the anti-slavery territories and forces. I mean, this was going on for a long time before the Civil War started. And these people really do seem to want to try to precipitate a civil war because they're essentially defying federal law because they consider President Trump to be an illegitimate president. And they're just, you know, we're not obeying. And look, the analogy is there. No matter where you come down on how the Civil War started, I don't want to relitigate the Civil War, but no matter how you come down on where it started, there's no question that the same elements are in play now. The only difference is, I hope, having been through one and hope that we have enough historical memory to know that that's the last thing in the world that we need. And we have got to find a way through our problems. And I really believe that the way through our problems is for such an awakening to break out in America that the very people who are against everything that we Christian conservatives represent, that those people will turn and repent in sackcloth and ashes and say, oh, God, forgive me. How wrong I've been. Because they're the haters. They're the ones who revel in the deaths. I mean, we still got people praising the death of Charlie Kirk. I mean, we still got people running around talking about, you know, why should I be sorry that Charlie Kirk died, was killed? He was a bad person. I mean, that's nuts. It really is. It's nuts. And wicked and evil. So, but that's the attitude that they are taking, as if they have the option to ignore whatever federal laws they want to ignore. I don't even know where they get that reading of the law from, because the supremacy clause makes clear that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the federal law supersedes state law. I mean, that's just the way it works. That's part of being a unified nation, as opposed to a bunch of separate nations. I said the Civil War slavery may have been a precipitating cause, but the real underlying question that was at stake that allowed the war to happen was whether we are in fact a once and for all indissoluble union, or we are a voluntary union from which states can opt out if they want to. And I think the Civil War determined, though, we are a once and for all undissolvable, indissoluble union. And once you're in, you don't get out. No state gets out. Because if that issue had been already solved, that if it had already been resolved, we would have resolved the issue of slavery by negotiation. It would have been resolved over a period of time by negotiation, not by civil war. But the Civil War was precipitated by the attitude that some states took, which is, we can leave if we want to. And by the way, the position that Abraham Lincoln took is the same position that Andrew Jackson took with South Carolina in 1833, I believe it was, when they threatened secession over tariffs. And Andrew Jackson took the position that you don't get to leave. You're in and nobody leaves now. No state can opt out. Well, we got people taking the attitude, no, we can opt out if we want to. No, you can't. We have to resolve our problems in other ways now. We can't resolve them by saying, well, you know, we're going to start a separate country. That won't work, folks. That's not good for anybody. Although I wish they'd go to a separate country. Don't try to start one here, but go find a separate country where they can be happy. I mean, as much as I disdain everything Rosie O'Donnell represents, I'm glad she's in Ireland. I hope she stays there. I mean, she might as well just stop opining about Donald Trump and just stay there and just enjoy your life, Rosie. And let those of us who love America just enjoy ourselves here and keep working toward making it a more perfect union, as the preamble to the Constitution says. Well, look, coming up in the next segment, I'll give you the number now so you're aware. I'm going to start taking your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, we really are in the middle of a spiritual and cultural battle. The outcome of the election in Virginia is proof positive of that even though President Trump has had a remarkably positive effect on the nation, that underlying spiritual and cultural division still eats away at us. I mean, so for example, did you hear about this new book that's come out aimed at five-year-olds? And basically, the thesis of the book is that abortion is your superpower. For five-year-olds, folks, I kid you not. For five-year-olds, abortion is your superpower. I mean, yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. Are you serious? Could that possibly be? And you know what the name of the book is called? The name of the book is Abortion is Everything. For five-year-olds, abortion is everything. And they're teaching five-year-olds what abortion is and how it might feel to have one and why people have abortions. And of course, it essentially represents people having abortions as being heroes. I mean, yeah, because again, folks, there's some things that you see the left doing and you think to yourself, that can't be a true story. That somebody's got to be making that up. First of all, to turn abortion, killing an innocent unborn baby, into a superpower. But then to put a book out for five-year-olds. But you know what that tells you, doesn't it? These people are working toward the long-term takeover of the country, and they want to start brainwashing our people at the earliest possible age. That is what it's all about, folks. Yeah, abortion is everything. The book's written by an artist and educator named Rachel Kessler, and an activist, Amelia Bonow, and illustrated by a woman named Emily Noakes. And, you know, it's got all kinds of nice children's pictures in it and watercolors in it. And, you know, here's is part of what they said when they announced the book. And by the way, this was the book was being touted by, I guess this is an organization, Shout Your Abortion. You know, I think Oprah Winfrey made that, at least made that phrase famous. But part of what they said when they announced it, it says, abortion is everything speaks directly to 5 to 8 year olds. What? What? About what abortion is, how it might feel, and why people have abortions. With accessible, inclusive language, abortion is everything frames abortion as the actualization of a uniquely human superpower, our capacity to imagine the future and make choices that lead us toward the life we envision. Abortion is a tool that allows human beings to shape our destinies and which has shaped the entire world around us. Abortion has shaped the entire world around us. Well, yeah, for the devil. So do you see what I mean when I say we are in a spiritual and cultural battle? Because if I didn't tell you about that, most of you probably never even heard about this book. But this is the kind of book that will find its way into kindergartens. It'll find its way into primary schools and public schools all over this nation. And people won't even know that their children are being taught from this garbage. 5 to 8 year olds. And no wonder by the time, you know, I've said the reason why California, Illinois, Vermont, Massachusetts, and some other states that I'm not thinking of at the moment, but, oh yeah, Minnesota are the way they are is they have created an indoctrination system that includes the government schools and then colleges and universities. Well, by the time you matriculate through that with the mainstream media surrounding you, the entertainment culture surrounding you, and pretty much most institutions of cultural influence surrounding you, reinforcing all of these demonic messages, the person becomes an adult, and this is the only way they know to think. They don't know that there is any other authentic way to think. By the way, before I run out of time to do it, let me just say, we're going to win this battle. And there are three things that the Lord laid on my heart that we've got to do. You know, we've got to learn to pray in precatory prayers, meaning we've got to learn to pray against these people. I know that that sounds mean, but, you know, we're not talking about praying for the death of anybody, praying for sickness and disease, praying for anybody to be killed. I mean, accidents, they take nothing like that. The kind of imprecatory prayer we can pray, and you find this replete throughout the scripture, we can pray for confusion in the ranks of those who are against God so that they can't carry out their planned intentions because they can't get together. We need to be praying that because these people are too unified. Sometimes I think they're more unified than we are. I'll give you the other two when we come back. 888-589-8840. I also begin to take your calls on these subjects that I've raised or anything else you want to talk about. Back in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And we're back. This is E.W. Jackson standing in for Abraham Hamilton III. By the way, I have a podcast. It's on every Wednesday morning, posted every Wednesday morning. Be sure to check it out. I've got some very special things that I discuss with you tomorrow with regard to the overall culture. Get into some things that we really need to be thinking about as we try to understand what is going on in our country. The president is about to speak, by the way, in Pennsylvania on the affordability issue. And apparently that's going to be his theme leading up to the midterm elections. And look, obviously that's important because we all need to live, right? But I'm convinced of this. If we get the spiritual and cultural issues right, it's going to be a lot easier to get the economic issues right. Whereas if we ignore the spiritual and cultural issues, but we focus on economic issues, which is many Americans, that's all they see. I mean, they could care how many unborn babies you kill as long as, you know, their groceries are cheaper. That's just a sad reality. They could care how many children get roped into all this gender confusion and sexual deviancy stuff as long as they can buy a car for less money. But we know Jesus said, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? So we're concerned about the soul of the nation as well as the economic well-being of the nation. I believe the two work hand in hand. We have a president now who I believe knows how to walk and chew gum at the same time, that he can address both these issues. I think that's part of what taking over the Kennedy Center is about, trying to address the cultural problems that we have. All bound up, because remember, it was the so-called LGBTQ community that was controlling the Kennedy Center. The president has snatched it away from them and is now bringing about and honoring more, at least more traditional entertainers. Again, he might not quite go the same way I would as a born-again believer, but it's a whole lot better than that crew that had it before, that really turned it into the Sodom and Gomorrah Center. The number is 888-589-8840. Any issue you want to raise is on the table, 888-589-8840. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Hartwell in Louisiana. Hartwell, welcome. Oops, sorry about that.
What you're doing? I love it.
Thank you. Thank you, Hartwell.
Okay, and... Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing. I love it. And have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. Appreciate the call. There is, again, folks, Andrew Breitbart famously said, we've got open lines, 888-589-8840. Andrew Breitbart famously said that the politics of a country is downstream of its culture. And yours truly has less famously said, but the culture of the country is downstream from its spirituality. So as the spirituality of a country goes, so goes its culture. And as the culture goes, so goes its politics. And the politics are really ultimately a reflection of the spirituality of the nation. And that's why we've got to continually come back to this whole issue of our spiritual and cultural and moral condition rather than only focus on the economics. You know, we've had a lot of conservatives. We got to stay on economic issues, stay away from the rest. When you do that, you allow the culture to be poisoned and you sow the seeds of economic disaster, in my view, because you simply cannot prosper by sowing bad seed. You cannot reap a good harvest by sowing bad seed. If the root is poison, then the fruit is poison. 888-589-8840 is the number. I mean, so for example, here's another situation. A Vermont school district, in order to be in solidarity, I guess, with the Minneapolis Somalis, who some significant number of which, I mean, three quarters of the people who've been indicted are Somalis over this $1 billion fraud. $1 billion. Stolen from the taxpayers in Minnesota, going to Somali terrorists. And Ilhan Omar saying anybody who says anything about that is a racist. You can't bring that up. That's racism. I mean, the last refuge of the scoundrel. Claim racism and hide behind that, and you can get away with pretty much anything. 888-589-8840. Well, this Vermont school raised the Somali flag with the American flag. Boy, now there's a picture. You know, if you want to be a Somali, go to live in Somalia. I mean, I'm not mad at you over it. You know, just go. Go enjoy yourself. Change them. Rather than coming to the most free, prosperous, productive, inventive, innovative nation in the world, the greatest place on earth to fulfill your God-given potential in coming here and denigrating our country. By the way, Ilhan Omar, one of those Somalis who is the poster child for that whole corrupt culture, 2 years ago in 2023, she claimed she was worth $65,000. You know what she's worth now 2 years later? Between $6 million and $30 million. Now, how do you think that happened? Oh, well, she's far more brilliant than we knew. She invented some great thing, and she created some great thing, and she innovated some great thing. Yeah, really? What is it? Yeah, well, you know, we could speculate, but I tell you what, I don't know of anything she's done to make that much money in that short of time. Do you? And then they'll say, America's the worst country in the world. We've become one of the, you remember she said that? We've become one of the worst countries in the world. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we got worse when she got here. All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Joe in Tennessee, or is that Texas? Oh, Texas. Joe, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Bishop. I love you, and I sure miss your show during the day. I just had a comment, and maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, but I don't know. I'm the biggest Trump supporter there is. I think he's great. He wasn't my first choice. I was kind of a Ted Cruz guy years ago.
Me too. But so was I.
He proved to me, I don't know, he proved to me that he was going to do what he said. But the problem that I have is if he's trying to tell us how affordable everything is, I haven't seen anything go down.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, thank you for the call. And thank you for the encouraging words. Appreciate you. Look, folks, that's a reality. I experienced the same thing a lot of people do. They're not yet seeing the results of Trump's action. Now, to be fair to him, it is true. Inflation is no longer raging the way it was. So we don't have 9% inflation anymore, 10% inflation. So the inflation rate is down to about 2.5%. In my view, that's still a little bit high. I'd like to see it come down at least another percentage point, but that's a far cry from where it was. The problem is prices haven't really gone down. We haven't seen a reduction in prices. What we've seen is the slowdown in inflation. And see, you don't feel the slowdown of inflation because what that means is prices are still going up. It's just going up a whole lot slower than they were. And wages can't keep up. I'm confident of this, like you. I want to give this president the benefit of the doubt. And I really believe that the money coming in from the tariffs, I really believe that that if they, particularly if they will rein in spending and keep taxes low and not flood the economy with a bunch of paper, that we will eventually see prices begin to come down as supply grows, because businesses are more productive and they've got the employees that they need and they're able to create more supply, that we will see those prices and as competition takes its effect, we will see those prices begin to come down. Although, you know, it's a whole lot easier to drive them up than it is to bring them down. So I think you raise a very valid point there, Joe. And I think a lot of people are feeling the same way and the polls are reflecting it. But again, I think he's proven himself and I really want to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt and give him a chance. I mean, he has only been president for a year and we had 4 years of this craziness. So, you know, 4 years of it and then he's expected to turn everything completely around in a year, I think is really a bit much. So I want to give him some more time to do what Trump has demonstrated, which is he's demonstrated his ability to actually get things done. Okay, let's go to Mike in Illinois, the infamous Illinois. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Hey, really appreciate your show. We appreciate your heart. Glad you're a brother in Christ.
Amen.
I want to encourage all those people that are out there screaming at the radio like I do when I hear, and I don't mean disrespect, but when I hear people say, well, the people from Illinois or the people from California or the people from Vermont. Well, I live in Illinois, and I'm extremely conservative, pro-life, God-fearing, and I don't agree with what the leadership does in my state. I vote extremely conservative.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends that do that. I'm walking the walk. It ain't changing their talk or what they're doing. So I tend to get people when I'm talking to them and they say, oh, you're from Illinois. So you kind of think like those people in Chicago. Well, you know, I live 400 miles from Chicago. I live as far south in Illinois as I can. And it's frustrating that you get pinned because that's, you know, you live in Illinois. So you've got to be a whack job like the people, you know, in Cook County. And I don't disrespect to them either. I know there's a lot of conservatives there, but it gets frustrating sometimes because you hear people say, oh, everybody from Illinois is like this. And it's like, it's really not true.
Well, Mike, listen, thank you for the call, brother. And thank you for sounding that note of restraint, because I usually think of two people when I think of what's really wrong in Illinois, and that's Pritzker and Johnson. Because to me, those two they really represent the worst of what any state could ever be. And it usually takes that kind of bad leadership. And obviously you're right. Just like with New York, if you go north of the city, further north you get, the more you get into conservative country and people have much more traditional values. There's even about 40% of the people in California who hold traditional values. But when the left gets in charge, they have a tendency to take our democracy, that they like to refer to it, and basically tyrannize the minority and just basically tell you if you don't agree with them, you're no good and they're not paying any attention to you. So Mike, we take that to heart, brother. We need to be praying for all the people in all these states who hold our values and find themselves, frankly, being tyrannized by the left. Okay, let's go to Freddie in Florida. Freddie, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to, my comment was that I just wish people would be more respectful toward the president. They say Trump as if they know him, should be Mr. President or President Trump. And the other thing is people always refer to as a democracy. And I just wish everybody would refer to it as a constitutional republic. That's my comments. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, listen, thank you. And I could not agree with you more, Freddie. Let's go to Andy because we're running short on time. So, Andy from Georgia, welcome.
Thank you, Bridget. How you doing?
Blessed, my friend.
You said something earlier about the left might be more organized than us. I made a difference. I think they are way more organized than us as far as conservatives, especially of the church, man. We need to get it together, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think get out there and spread some truth, you know. It ain't all that, you know, great a thing that we need to do except for share love. I mean, that's pretty great, but it ain't nothing extraordinary. You know what I mean? We need to be love and respect. And sometimes, you know, respect's got to call out disrespect. And I appreciate you doing that.
Well, listen, Andy, I could not agree with you more. You know, the church ought to be the most unified body of people in the world because we follow the same Lord. And he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. And so we're supposed to love one another. We ought to be able to come together in agreement. But a part of our problem is you got a lot of people who claim to be Christians who don't adhere to the word of God. And it's very, very difficult to unify with them because, you know, the Bible says, how could two walk together except they be agreed? And so if you claim to be a Christian, but you discard the word of God as truth and absolute and ultimate and final truth, I can't come in agreement with you. So it's a little tough when you don't have principle, but rather your whole quest is for power. I think that's probably easier to rally around, because then you don't care whether we disagree about any particular thing. The only thing that matters is getting and keeping power. That's going to do it for today, folks. God bless all of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.